You're tuned into People's Tribune Radio. I'm Kenny Shook.
I would advise anybody not to knock the homeless because each and every person is one paycheck away from being homeless.
I think that it's broken right now, and what we're trying to do is get it into a better place.
We think that it helps the struggles of people in other places to know that the model that is being imposed on them by the United States has failed here at home as well.
People's Tribune Radio is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, who also publishes the newspaper People's Tribune, Tribuno del Pueblo. Ordering and contact information will be provided after the show. Not only did the 2004 Republican National Convention in New York City spawn a large number of protests, but it also united many organizations around a number of movements taking place inside and outside the United States. Today, we hear from a few of the people involved in poor people and youth movements. We begin with some of the voices who participated in Bushville, a tent city established by the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign during the Republican Convention. We first hear from Jan Flaherty of the United Kingdom, who shares Bushville lessons she learned in order to take home to the UK.
Okay, I'm here to support the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. I was made aware of them over the internet in England. I'm a poverty researcher. I also work with people in poverty in the community. And I wanted to find out for myself what the group did, as well as support them. Because in the UK, we have basically free healthcare access. And so, you know, we don't pay for doctors or dentists. It's all free, whether you're working or not. So that has been a real shock, to find out that people go without medicine and basically die, you know. So that has been really, really shocking to find that out. So that's a major difference. We need significant change in the US, significant changes in the healthcare system. We also need significant cultural changes, so the way that poor people are represented and perceived in the mainstream needs to be changed, so that it's not seen as a personal failure, it's seen as a systemic failure. I think empowerment is a big part of it. So getting people in poverty to realize that poverty isn't an individual problem, it's a systemic problem. So that's been a major learning curve. I think getting people to mobilize under the banner of economic human rights, so to see poverty as an abuse of human rights, is really, really important. And that as an organizing umbrella, I think, is significant, and one that I want to take back and learn from and maybe put into practice in the UK.
Next, from Bushville, Cleveland native Karen Sweeney shares with listeners the importance of organizing around the needs of the poor.
I've come here today to give my voice in what's happening in the world today. The homelessness, joblessness, no health care, education for our children. That's why I'm here today. I have a ministry, God's Agape Love Ministry for the Homeless. We do a meal on Cleveland's Public Square every fourth Saturday of the month. We serve almost 400 people. And so that lets you know that there's thousands of homeless roaming around Cleveland with no place to stay, no food, no clothes. So we're there to help them, to give them the things they need so their situation can be worked out. Anybody can get homeless. Your house could be condemned. I've known people that had a job today and none tomorrow. The job folded under. I've known people that got sick and couldn't work anymore and couldn't pay their bills, or just got older and couldn't get the benefits that they thought they were going to get, and they had to become homeless. It's not because they're lazy. There may be a few, but not all. And I would advise anybody not to knock the homeless, because each and every person is one paycheck away from being homeless. The war is right here in the United States. You're giving overseas, which I have nothing against that. There are poor people there too. But we have people here that don't even know what a good meal is, a hot meal, a shower, a shave, clean under things. The war goes right on in our city, the city of Cleveland, people sleeping on the street, walking around all night because they have no place to stay, sleeping out up under the stars because this is the only place that they have to sleep. I like to see things come forward where there'll be homes for them, places to stay, food to eat, clean clothing, and get an education and try to get themselves back where they were.
My name is Portia Anderson. I live in Oakland, California. And basically, I am here to talk about why I joined the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign and why we came out to Bushville and also participate in the March for Our Lives. I am also a volunteer with the Women's Economic Agenda Project. I've been involved with their healthcare economic justice movement campaign for a number of years. It was important for me to be involved in this is one, because I was a person that had no health insurance and have gone from job to job because of a learning disability, as well as not having health insurance when I had breast cancer, advanced breast cancer 5 years ago. So it was difficult being a young woman under 40 to piece together health care to save my life. I had to face a lot of indignities and finally got the health care and the treatment I needed. I'm seeing it with a number of different women, people who are not getting diagnosis early and getting the treatment they need early and dying and leaving children aside. That's why joining the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign was important for me. Coming out here and connecting the issues and seeing and making sure that that's on the national agenda, connecting the issues with a living wage job, adequate housing, and access to health care for all regardless of income. That's critical. That's critical for us, and it's an inherent right for us. And that's why the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which includes a right to housing, health care, and education, and communication, is an inherent God-given right. So that's something that's a part of movement we're a part of, and it's something that's critical to my life. And that's why I'm here, and that's why I flew out here from California, to make sure that advances on the national agenda and bring other people out as well. You know, these are people who are homeless. These are the people who lack health care, who have a difficult time accessing health care, who have children, who have illnesses themselves and still don't have housing and adequate food and education. So it was exciting to be part of it. There was a church, a small church, that took a stand in New York that said, we will open up our parking lot to Bushville so we can also be involved in this campaign for human rights and make sure people have access to health insurance and food and housing. I think it's important for people to understand that it's not just poor people, it's not people that are educated, and to put aside the stereotypes, it's everyone who's facing a housing shortage. Everyone is facing this healthcare crisis. Only people that are extremely privileged have not experienced what it means not to be treated and not to have health, access to health care and affordable health care. So what's important, I think, is for people to see this not as a marginalized issue for a few marginalized people, but that it is a crisis for all working people here in this country. And I think Bushville drives that point home. March for People's Lives drives this point home. The Poor People's Economic Rights Campaign, which is a movement and not a coalition and not an organization, but a movement for real change in this country. I think that's what people should come away with.
My name is Ronald Casanova. And I'm from the Lower East Side, Thompson Square Park. That's where I became an activist when we did Tent City Union of the Homeless. I just came back a couple of months ago because I've been sick. But the past couple of months, we've been doing Bushvilles throughout the... we started in Jersey and came over here. So we've been doing this now for about 2 months. And we got lucky when we met the reverend and the deacon here, and they allowed us to use... their lot. Some churches let us use their basement and whatnot. Sometimes we had to sleep in the park, you know, but we did have a few people that weren't so cooperative, but you know the way this movement is, not everybody is going to agree that homeless should speak for themselves. But basically it was, I think it was really a dynamic policing. So my job is to organize in New York. I'm now starting a new chapter of the Poor People's Economic Human Rights here in New York. We are already have been planting our seeds throughout all the boroughs, and we now got Rochester and Buffalo to be also a part of it, so it's expanding. You know, the main thing for me is to help wake up the conscience of the homeless people. A lot of them, like myself in the past, didn't believe that we could do anything. You know, we believe the hype that we're bums, we're lazy, we're shiftless, and so forth and so on. So the first job is to change the mentality. Because if people continue to think that they're not worth anything, they're not going to do anything. But I want to show them by the power of example that we can get up and out of poverty. I don't think the guy Kerry is all that great. But one of the things we need to do is get rid of Bush, and we need to get rid of the Republican Party. No matter what, we got to get rid of them all. The Democratic Party is wishy-washy because Kerry hasn't really said anything worthwhile about homelessness and poverty, AIDS, or anything like that. He made a mention of what we're doing, you know, about homelessness and poverty, but that was it. No programs, no ideas, and so forth and so on. When we get the Democratic Party in office, we still got to attack the Democratic Party. We got to let them know that we exist, and we got to make them understand that changes need to be made. So our job is not over because somebody else gets elected. It's just another beginning. One of the things we got to do is get the homeless to understand that they need to be part of going to the legislation and whatnot. You know, I try to tell them sometimes, I said, you know, if we were to take all the homeless people in New York City and march on the mayor's office and whatnot, we could change city politics when it comes to poverty and homelessness. That's a goal that I still think is reachable. It's going to be a hard job because if you live in the mentality that you ain't no good for 45 or 50 years, changing that mentality is a job. You know, so we can get out there and yell and scream and all that kind of stuff. But then at the end of the yelling and screaming, even if they're with us, they got to figure out where they're going to go sleep, where they're going to go eat. And they feel that that's the only thing that they have. We got to get them to understand that with them, we can change it. And we can get what we're supposed to get, housing, health care, food, clothing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
This is People's Tribune Radio. Ronald Casanova continues to speak with us today about people who have come to visit the tent city, Bushville.
I be out here doing security sometimes. I'm here 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and people come and talk and so forth and so on. And some of them are still here. You know, they come, they get nervous, they get scared because of our reputation or what the media says our reputation is until they talk with us. Once they talk with us, a few of them pitch tents. They're here. You understand? You know, I'm not saying everybody we talk to is coming, but it's phenomenal. It's working. You know, we met a couple of squatters, that freshly new squatters, who gave up their job so they can do activism for the rest of their life. They're still here. You know, when they first came, they weren't, oh, I don't think we should spend the night here. And then we talk. Because I'm a squatter. That's my history. Thompson Square Park, Lower East Side. So, I like it. I think it's working. One of the things I'm hoping that people do is to try to get away from the myths. Stop just paying attention to the daily news and CBS and so forth and so on, and get out on the street and meet people. Talk to them. Not everybody that's out here they're going to like. But if they do it right and go to where homeless people are organizing themselves and find out from them what's going on, then they'll want to get more involved. Give themselves a chance to get the real deal from the people instead of the newspapers.
The University of the Poor is the educational arm of the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. Made up of a number of individual schools, its goal is to educate the movement of the poor while fostering knowledge and a growth in leadership. We hear a bit about the University of the Poor from the catalyst of the School of Theology, Reverend Noel D'Amico.
The University of the Poor is dedicated to building leaders from all walks of life who are committed to building the unity and leadership of the poor in our collective nonviolent struggle to obtain economic human rights for all of us. So my role specifically with the School of Theology is to do 3 things. The School of Theology, first of all, gets the voices and analysis of the poor out there into the religious community, the academic community, and the public square, but we specifically target the area of religious faith. The second is we build partnerships locally and nationally, whether it's the Mount Zion Christian Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ here, that we built a relationship through this tent city with, or whether that's a national denominational body like the United Church of Christ Justice and Witness Ministries that endorses our work. The religious people of this nation often feel a great compassion for those who are poor and want to understand better how they can fit in. And so there's a lot for all of us to learn, but our target is to build partnerships. So there is the voices of the poor, the building of partnerships. The third is developing resources that all of us can use to move forward this movement for economic human rights. Resources such as prayers. The prayers are our theology. They're what keep us going. They spring up and are spontaneous. They come from all different kinds of faiths, from recovering folks who call upon their higher power to Pentecostal folks who are prophetesses and call upon the living name of Jesus Christ. We come from all different religious backgrounds, but the prayers are that vital core that remind us of who we are and give us the strength we need to continue. You know, we're not about having one person at the top. You know, when you have one person at the top of an organization and it's some kind of trickle down, all the powers that be need to do is cut off that person at the top to stop the movement. This is a people's movement. And so we cultivate and foster many, many leaders. Again, we're called the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. But just remember, Martin Luther King Jr. was not a poor man, but he helped to initiate the Poor People's Campaign. We need leaders from all walks of life in this if we're going to build a strong social movement, if we're not only going to prick but open the conscience of America to end poverty once and for all. We need everybody working on this. And so we're developing leadership from all walks of life, and those leaders, no matter whether they're a preacher, a professor, a social worker, a filmmaker, or a poor and homeless person who's looking for a job, no matter who they are, we have one thing in common. That is, we are dedicated to building unity of the poor in the front of this movement that is leading us, we hope, to end poverty once and for all and gain us all the economic human rights we deserve as children of God.
John Horn of Springfield, Massachusetts, joined up with Bushville in Brooklyn. His goals were to network with other poor and homeless people around the struggle to end poverty.
Really, in a larger sense, I'm here to network with other people and other organizers from around the country to, in order to be able to better organize in a very difficult situation that we have in Springfield. You know, I could have come to the march by myself, that would have been no problem, but I could have never found all these people in one place, and under any other circumstances. We're here with the Kensington Group from Philadelphia, which is a highly organized anti-poverty group. Runs all kinds of things, and we really need their ideas. Where we're coming from is a place called Sanctuary City, which is a tent city for the homeless that's been in existence in Springfield since about the middle of May, and is still up, which makes it a very long-lasting outlaw tent city. Now, with the globalization of the economy, the person with a stroke of a key sitting in an apartment in New York is directing the economy, or at least very badly influencing the economy, of a town like Springfield. Yeah, okay, we're a town that's crying about our industrial past. Yes, it's true. No, we know that the great, you know, carriage works and the trains are not going to come back. But with a shift of focus of the economy from making money for a very few to providing for the many, life has become a very temporary thing. No one knows what tomorrow will bring, so no one can really plan. I know that with the money is available to solve the social problems that exist now, the planning needs to be available to prevent them from recurring.
Jen Cox of the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign shares with listeners the importance of understanding the international struggle of poor people.
I'm the International Relations Coordinator for the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. So my main roles have been ensuring a delegation of international human rights observers to observe what happens on the march and hopefully ensure that our rights to free speech and our basic rights are respected, and if not, to let the world know what goes on here. The polarization of wealth and poverty and the economic system is a global one, and more and more it's not rich countries versus poor countries, but it's the wealthy of the international class of billionaires and wealthy and an international class of poor people. So we feel very strongly that we need to unite all of the 99% of the world's population that is struggling just to get by, and in particular at this time in history, to bring this the growing number of poor people and permanently unemployed homeless people in the United States that's just beginning to develop as a class, to bring it into relationship and into a political unity with movements of the poor in different parts of the world, that we have lots to learn from movements that have been around for 10, 20, 50 years, organizing in the worst circumstances. We think they have some to learn from us. We think that it helps the struggles of people in other places to know that the model that is being imposed on them by the United States has failed here at home as well.
The international presence in Bushville was exhibited with the participation of human rights monitors who came to observe the activities of the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. The following interviews are translated thanks to Tony Zaragoza.
My name is Alexis Ponce. I come from Ecuador in South America. I am a representative of the Permanent Assembly of Human Rights, a social organization of human rights activists. I came as a representative of a continent-wide network of human rights monitors. But this role as human rights monitor is not a passive one, but an active role, because solidarity must be about sharing other people's suffering. We want to show people in our countries what we see, hear, and feel here. The United States has always told us it was a land of opportunity, of freedom, and democracy. And it appears incredible to us that in the land of opportunity, democracy, and freedom, there are millions of people without health care, employment, and the right to a good livelihood. That's why we feel that the solidarity that usually comes from the north to the south must also be turned around so that the solidarity also comes from the south to the north. Because the system that oppresses so many South Americans and the peoples of all the third world is the same system that permits and multiplies the poverty in the U.S. Here, there are weapons of mass destruction and silence, like hunger, lack of opportunity. And there are Guantanamos against the poor, and strong prisons like in Iraq or like in Cuba at Guantanamo. There are strong and invisible prisons where the poor are punished with indifference. And the Global South must understand that when we struggle for human rights in Latin America, we cannot do it isolated from our poor brothers and sisters in the United States. And it is for this reason we are here to accompany this struggle. My name is Nola Cortiñas. I belong to the founding lineage of the Mothers of the Plaza de Mayo from Argentina. One of my children, Carlos Gustavo, was detained and disappeared on April 15, 1977. My organization was founded by mothers, all who have had sons or daughters disappeared during a time when one of the bloodiest military dictatorships repressed our people. I am here because the Mothers of the Plaza de Mayo have the important obligation of being in solidarity with all people. We never could have imagined that in the U.S. we would ever see this kind of situation that we have been seeing here. This poverty we have been seeing here is the consequence of the neoliberal economic system that is also impacting all of Latin America. This is a system that applies economic power to dominate the peoples of the Americas, just as in Africa and Asia. Neoliberalism needs to be explained. I would summarize it as fewer wealthy becoming wealthier and more poor becoming poorer. We are here today to ensure and observe that the right to protest and dissent are not violated for the people in this march, the March for Our Lives.
While Bushville's presence in New York during the Republican Convention reflected the growing movement of poor people from local communities to international ones, the Tent City was only one hub of movement building. Books Not Bombs was another international organization sponsoring movement building. With the convergence of the National Youth and Student Peace Coalition, youth from across the country came together to talk about the needs of young people. Brian Santiago shares with PT Radio his involvement with the convergence.
Well, my name is Brian Santiago. I'm 15 years old, and I came to Youth Convergence because I represent a group called Youth Stay. We represent Good Old Lower East Side, which helps the minority to find low-income housing so they can stay, and we fight gentrification. It's hard to find places here in New York City. Like me, myself, I'm going to be moving out of my house soon. I'm going to be trying to look for myself apartment, but I don't have enough money to pay rent. Like, rent for me is like maybe $800 or less. Some places, the rent's too high, maybe like $2,000, $3,000, and people want more what they can get. Landlords, they want that. Not a lot of people have money. A lot of poor people out there in the streets, we're trying to stop the poor people from being on the streets, sleeping on the streets. We want people in homes to live, and we don't want like stuff like that happen. We want people to live their life and not be homeless or anything. The people deserve to get what they want. The government already has what they want. They have the United States. They have the people. They have a lot of people on their side. Us, we need to have all this stuff. We need money in the system. Like, I live in the Bronx. I come from the Bronx. I was raised in my hand, but live in the Bronx. I moved to the Bronx. Why? Because the rent and all the other stuff that's been going on.
Jeff from St. Louis shares his feelings about the occupation in Iraq and the United for Peace and Justice march during the convergence of the National Youth and Student Peace Coalition.
Yeah, I think that there's a, you know, with a No Child Left Behind and things like that, they talk about so much, and Social Security and things like that. You can't continue to keep those promises. You can't. It's a big illusion if you're going to spend all this money going to war. When people say it's a war, they always think good versus bad. But if you think of it in a bigger way, this really isn't a war. It's just a way for a bunch of people to make money. You know, you've got the people who are getting in line to make these deals with the oil that'll be coming out of Iraq. That's what it's all about. It's not about enemies, and it's not about killing Americans. You know, if we were talking about that, we'd be talking about Osama bin Laden. We'd be talking about Al-Qaeda. But none of that, you know, I haven't heard about that in a year, year and a half. You're going to see all these people, and they're going to try to villainize the demonstrators as people who don't want to see the United States government work. But I think that it's broken right now, and what we're trying to do is get it into a better place.
Jessica Marshall, a student from Rochester and an organizer of the Convergence of the National Youth and Student Peace Coalition, expresses the reasons for having an event to bring together youth during the week of the Republican National Convention.
I think that the right wing has really defined for us what their agenda is for youth and for the future of this country, and it's really important for us to have a space where we're talking about what are our demands, what does our future look like, you know, kind of imagining or having some kind of vision for where we want things to go. And one of the big goals of NYSP, of the National Youth and Student Peace Coalition, is to really start thinking about not just fighting back, but actually start winning some things. And so this is a chance for people to really kind of talk, dialogue, strategize, and say where we want our movement to go and define things on our terms instead of always, you know, having things defined for us. There are 5 demands for us for the Books Not Bombs agenda. They're education, not empire; campuses for peace, not war, which deals with militarization of campuses, divestment issues. There's schools, not jails; protect our civil liberties; and no to the poverty draft and against military recruitment. I'd really like for people to arm themselves or get all the skills, the basic knowledge about the different issues that are affecting young people, educate themselves, trade ideas, trade strategies, and take those back to their campuses and to their communities so we can really start doing the organizing work. This is just 1 week. You know, the RNC is cool, people come out, we protest, we're on the street, we make our voice heard, but the important part is what happens when we go home. And that's why it was important for us that we not organize another protest, another demonstration, but that we really organize a space where there's dialogue, where there's discussion, and there's this kind of imagining of what our agenda is.
That is all we have time for on this edition of People's Tribune Radio. If you would like to find out more about the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, you can visit their website, www.economichumanrights.org. Likewise, you can find more information regarding the National Youth and Student Peace Coalition at their website, www.nyspc.org. People's Tribune Radio is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League advocates for a cooperative society that nurtures the peaceful, equal, and full development of all people, not just those with money. If you would like to donate to PTR or order some of our other print and media resources, you may do so by calling toll-free 1-800-691-6888. That number once again is 1-800-691-6888. You can also visit us on the web at www.lrna.org. I'm Kenny Shook, and on behalf of the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, please join us next time for People's Tribune Radio. Hey.